This podcast episode is dedicated to empowering sensitive people to recognize their trait as sensory intelligence
and bring their unique gifts into service for the crucial roles we play in communities, businesses, and leadership globally. I'm Julie Bieland, sensitivity expert, psychotherapist, and founder of the online Sensitive Empowerment Community.
I'm Willow McIntosh, founder of Inluminance and leader of the High Sensory Intelligence Movement. We hope you enjoy this episode.
I want to give you a quick update before we start this episode, and that is that I have some free masterclasses coming up that I'd love to invite you to. They're free to register. You'll also get a replay if you register. One is about high sensitivity and anxiety, and one is called Reach Financial Freedom, Growing a Heart-Centered Online Business, and that's for HSP practitioners, healers, therapists, coaches, et cetera, who want to learn how to grow multiple sources of income and just be in a place where you're free so that you can really do the work that you need to do as a healer and take time off to take care of your self-care and things like that. That's important for healers. And I'm going to be available to answer questions after these events. And you can find them, you can register free by going to my website, juliebieland.com or sensitiveconnection.com, and click on free resources. And there you will see where it says masterclasses, and you'll get a link to register free. If you can't find it for some reason, definitely just let me know. And yes, there is a replay if you register, and you'll get an email reminder and things like that as well. So look forward to seeing you there. Enjoy this event. Welcome, everyone. I am Julie Bieland, founder of Sensitive Empowerment, and we are recording live in the Sensitive Empowerment community. And we're here with Willow McIntosh, who is the founder of Inluminance. Hello, Willow.
Hey, Julie. So good to be here.
Yay. And today's topic, you want to introduce it?
Yes, absolutely. So today's topic, we're going to be looking into the importance of valuing our needs in the workplace as an HSP. And I know both you and I, Julie, we're quite passionate about this topic and about increasing the awareness of our needs as HSPs in the workplace. And actually, I think we've got this amazing opportunity right now because we're in this shift globally where we, you know, the workplace is changing. Many of us are working at home right now, but as we go back into the normal progress of work, it's likely there are going to be some big changes with many of us perhaps part-time working at home and then part-time in the office. And it feels like we've got this really amazing opportunity to really tune in and address what our needs are as HSPs in the workplace, and also to help us to present our abilities and gifts to the organizations that we work for so they can begin to really recognize the benefits that we bring and how we can really feel valued. And feels like there's an amazing opportunity right now to look at some of these pieces.
Oh, I love this, Willow, so much to have this conversation. And I have to share a conversation I had recently. I was on, somebody was interviewing me on their podcast, and we were discussing the value of HSPs in the workplace. And one of the things that came up in that conversation that I thought was, I think it's just going to feel wonderful for people to hear this in general and give you an idea of why you have so much value. So I was actually being interviewed by two different people and their colleagues. One was an HSP and one wasn't. And the one that was not an HSP was really exuberantly sharing how much he valued the HSP, and that, you know, she would pick up on stuff in meetings that he would totally miss. And he was just going raving about her abilities. And I mean, I was getting goosebumps like the entire time we were talking, because it was so exciting to me to hear somebody naming that. You know, he was really fully aware of all the benefits that she brought to the team. And he would really, he said he really relied on her for extra information, that after meetings, he would have
he would sit down with her and have her share what she picked up on. And he was always floored with what she was aware of that he would completely miss. And I thought it was so beautiful to share that there is so much value in the what HSPs bring to the workplace.
Wow, I'm so excited you went straight there. That's the piece that I'm really interested in exploring today. I just love that, and I hear this so regularly as well, and that is such a great example of the value that we bring to the workplace. You know, right there, that indicates an HSP's ability to be able to tune in to that information that's happening in a room, the things that are not said in conversations, the way to be able to feel how others are feeling, and to be able to feed that information to our managers, to the business owners, or if we are managers ourselves, to how we can relay that kind of information. It's so valuable. And not only is it really helpful for everyone else in the business, but it's so important for us as HSPs to recognize what we bring to the workplace.
Yes. And perhaps you're going to want to share this podcast episode with your team, right, Willow? I mean, this is a great idea. And it was interesting too, because she had shared that she had actually just recently learned she was an HSP. And since learning about it, her confidence went up. And I think that's what we see a lot. Like, the more we learn about this trait, the more we understand that the gifts that are within it, and how to care for ourselves. How do we be the best version of ourselves? How do we take care of a sensitive nervous system? How do we make sure that when we're in the office place that we are in conditions that really are supportive of us, you know? And I want people to understand, and companies and businesses to understand about creating workplace environments that are going to help your HSPs really rise to, you know, and be able to be their best self. I mean, thinking of everything from, you know, creating scent-free places, you know, spaces, thinking about the lighting, thinking about, having quiet areas, reflective meditation areas, nature areas in the environments, not having open office plans, allowing HSPs to work from home if it works best for them, creating environments where they're able to share their ideas in different ways. Because a lot of HSPs, especially those of us that are introverted, are not necessarily comfortable jumping in to a group meeting. Like, we might have great ideas. And this is something that I get so excited about when I'm talking to people, and even business leaders and stuff, is that they want, I mean, you want these HSP ideas, because they're so valuable, and creating these kinds of spaces for them that they can take breaks and have quiet, you know, private spaces within the building even, you know, these are ways for you to really get the value and the quality that an HSP offers.
Yes, absolutely right. And there's a really key piece here. And I think that is that many of us as HSPs, we don't realize quite how valuable the thoughts that we're having in our heads are, and the things that we're picking up on. In other words, when we're in a meeting, you know, especially if we're introverted in a meeting, we may be actually, you know, harboring really important information. And for many of us, we think, oh, I'm not going to say that because, you know, probably everyone else is thinking it anyway. The reality is that everyone else is not thinking this. And exactly in that example that you just gave there, Julie, you know, that guy that you mentioned, he's now realized the value of the information that his colleague, his co-worker's picking up on, the HSP. And he's now, you know, tell me, what did you see in that meeting? You know, what do I need to know? And this is the thing for us to recognize, is it's really important, the things that we see. And it's so important to remember that other people are not seeing what we're seeing and in hearing what we're hearing. And as a result of that, you know, or in addition to that, what you're saying now, Julie, is like, you know, the reason that it's so important, it makes sense now for us to have areas of the office where we can chill out, where we can recuperate, you know, where there's silent areas, you know, as you say, scent-free, where the lighting is right. It's because in order for us to be on our game and deliver this information and that's so valuable, we need to be looking after ourselves. And so once there is this value recognition that's happening, then business owners and ourselves, we're going to realize, okay, we need to have these things in place because I need my HSPs on their game and at their best because of this amazing information that they're harboring, right?
Oh, yes. I'm like, I have goosebumps this entire time we're talking because I'm so excited about this. Absolutely. Because if we're setting it up correctly, even our own experiences at work, or if you are, you know, a business leader or have a company, you absolutely have to understand that if we do have the right conditions, the creative flow of an HSP with the right conditions is incredible. And you know, we have to remember this is a sensory processing sensitivity. So we've got the challenges and we've got the gifts. So if you support the challenges, you know, like we talked about lighting, scent, all that kind of stuff, sound, quiet places, not expecting us to be in groups all the time, or even right now with online business meetings. I mean, it's not okay to have, you know, to have to look at a screen for hours and hours and hours and be inundated with that. I even see people in the community talking about how their challenges were, you know, never getting a word in edgewise with people talking over one another and interrupting, you know, then you're missing out on really valuable ideas. I can remember another person I talked to a while back, and he has his own company, and he was talking about, as he started to learn about the trait, he was like, wow, I'm recognizing that I can, you know, sort of pull out the gifts of all the HSPs in my company. And I was like, yes, you can.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely right. And that's what's such an amazing opportunity here. Is it's such a mutual benefit that's happening. The HSPs are much happier and the company's really benefiting from the HSPs. And there's actually a really fascinating body of work out there right now. And it is around empathic leadership, but it's also around, there's an amazing book called Something Organizations, which I'm going to, Frederick, someone, maybe someone in the chat can help me with this book. It's something, it'll come to me in a minute. But there's this specialist in workplaces and specialist in organizational productivity who did a huge amount of research into which organizations are hugely successful and why they're successful and which ones struggle. And a huge part of it came down to the energy in the culture and the community of the workforce. And Simon Sinek's done lots of research and written books on this as well. If the workforce is feeling safe and they're feeling honored and they feel they're working together, Frederick Laloux is the name, L-O-L-A-L-O-U-X, an amazing book to read. And what he found is that, you know, when members of teams feel like they're not in competition with each other, but they are aligned with themselves, they feel safe, they feel comfortable, they're also aligned with the values of the company, then the productivity is just skyrockets. And you get a really low turnover of staff. Now, what's interesting here is HSPs are so good at creating these kind of environments and helping people to feel aligned to their own sense of purpose and self, and also feel aligned to the values of the company if they're in the right place, of course. And right there is a tremendous opportunity to help to create these types of productive workforces.
Oh, I love that. And I love the research base too, of understanding that this has actually already been researched and shown. And even in the HSP, we have researched this and found that supervisors rate HSPs highest in the job. And that is completely aligns with what I know about this trait, because actually a part of this trait and how we evolved in the first place, excuse me, came from a sense of we want to get things done right, and we want to get them done right the first time. And HSPs tend to really put a lot into projects, put a lot into helping and supporting others, put a lot into wanting their work to be really good and really valuable. And I think it's important for us to name that, to understand that that's what you're getting when you get an HSP employee in your office or something like that in your team, that if you're supporting them in the right ways, you're going to have an incredible amount of value in that person.
Yes, absolutely right. Yes. And yeah, I've also read that research too about the about how highly we rate as employees, and that's absolutely right. It's definitely a gift that we have, where we are super meticulous about everything that we do. I mean, I know it's the same for me when I'm designing a landing page or something like that, or you know, setting up some kind of automation somewhere. Like I am so. My focus, when I'm focused and I'm, you know, and I'm kind of refreshed, the focus is so intense. Intense is not the quite word. It's a great deal of care and attention to detail where all of my kind of HSP gifts kind of focus in, and it allows me to make sure that I'm thinking and I'm seeing the bigger picture of what's happening. I'm making sure that the detail of what I'm doing is correct, and I take the time to make sure that what I'm delivering and doing is of excellent quality. And I have to say, this is why all of the team members of Illuminance are all HSPs. I can't say that I would never have an employer non-HSP, but I am very aware, as a business owner myself, of the quality of HSPs. And I think this is something that, you know, raising awareness of this and helping business owners to recognize just what they've got in their workforce.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And how to support them, and how to, for you all listening, to how to advocate for your needs and share these kinds of resources and understanding. And even just reading through some of the comments right now, I want to share some because that helps people kind of have an understanding of what we're talking about. Like Tina mentioned, having at one point she worked somewhere where they had a meditation room, and it was like, it was just so wonderful for her. I mean, this is a great idea. Somebody else is sharing that they had a lactation room, and after that they stopped nursing, they'd stay in there for a while. And what if we created little pods for, you know, HSPs to spend time in that are quiet, private, alone spaces with lots of plants, have outside walking areas that might have nature around them. I mean, these are ways for us to really support them. You know, things like even lighting. I've heard HSPs talk about lighting and scent issues causing headaches and migraines. I mean, this is a part of the sensory processing sensitivity of the trait that we have to recognize. Even, you know, all the way down to the comfort level of what kind of chair you have, you know, that you're sitting on. All of these things are, you know, creating spaces that really make sure that the balance and health of that HSP is considered, because then you get to access all these amazing gifts and creating, you know, after meetings, making sure that HSPs have options, like maybe they would like to email their ideas or have one-on-one meetings afterwards, and maybe even have a chance to opt out of some of the meetings. So, you know, if you're having tons of meetings, and really just having consideration for things like this, you're going to have so much value in the workplace. And I also want HSPs to feel really empowered to advocate for their needs. Like some of them, for example, one used to have this really horrible fluorescent light above their desk that always caused headaches. So they actually, you know, we worked together for them to develop, you know, a sense of empowerment to ask for that to be changed. And they did. And they changed it so that, it feels so good to advocate for what you need at work. And you know what you need, like, you know, what would make you the strongest version of yourself, with the most creative, the most productive. And that's what your bosses and leaders want. They want you to be the most productive. So if you actually were to go up to them and say, hey, you know, I have these ideas that I think could really help me be my absolute best self and the most productive and creative, and I'd like to share them with you.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. Absolutely. And I think, yes, I mean, yes to all of the above you just said. That I think 100%, that's so important to put into place. And also, you know, I wonder if there's an opportunity to almost kind of set some things up in the human resources level. So in other words, so I've kind of got several things in my mind. I'm going to try and get it all out. So What I'm kind of wondering or visualizing is if there is a way almost to create a kind of a community or a resource for HSPs within a company, almost like a mini union. I don't know if that's the right word, where it's established like who is HSP within the company, what are the needs of the HSPs, so the business and organizations and everyone else in the company know that the HSPs have particular needs, but the reason that we need HSPs at their best is because of these amazing gifts and everything that they bring to the company. So there's this bigger awareness in the company. However, what's interesting here, I think, is how actually that gets perceived by people who are not HSPs. Because what we're talking about here is we're talking about normalizing the trait and making HSPs feel comfortable to express their needs and get their needs met. I think it's going to be interesting how that is met and received by non-HSPs in the company. And I think it's going to be very important to find a way, find the language and help non-HSPs to understand what the trait is and vice versa. So all of a sudden we haven't got this kind of split in the workforces where HSPs are now this superior kind of super being. I think it needs to almost be presented and delivered in a way where both are very much needed. Like HSPs, we need non-HSPs in the world and vice versa. You know, nature doesn't make mistakes, right? So I think there's an interesting piece here about how that's kind of presented and handled in a way that can be of a best outcome.
Yeah, and it just the idea of diversity in general, and even including right. diversity, right? We need to see more diversity. We need to see more women in leadership, more Black leadership, more LGBTQ leadership. I mean, all these things in forms of diversity. And, you know, this is a grassroots movement. So we all need to take responsibility to share about this trait, to educate others about this trait. And I also want to go into a question Cecilia asked. Do HSPs often become burnt out or overburdened because we take on too much, possibly because of difficulty delegating or even our perfectionism? Yes. And I'm glad you said this, Cecilia, because it is also our responsibility to make sure we have healthy boundaries. Because if we're walking around completely burnt out, and I see this a lot with HSPs, that the perfectionism is an issue because we want to get things done right, that we push ourselves so hard. I've also seen tons of HSPs take over the, you know, other people's projects and just feel like they're sort of overburdened and doing everything. And we have to be careful about that. That's where it becomes our responsibility to have healthy boundaries, make sure that we're focusing on our own stuff. We're advocating for our time off. We're advocating for, you know, that alone time every day, that we're not constantly on call and working into the night and having our workplace expect us to be answering emails all night long and things like that. We really have to create these boundaries that make sure that we're taking care of our own wellness too.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's a really, really good point, Cecilia, definitely. And I think it's also almost an opportunity for non-HSPs to be able to come to us and say, okay, that's great. Like, you've done that. That's finished. You know, you can't. We don't need to make that any better. So, you know, because the perfectionism is a really interesting part of being an HSP. And something that a non-HSP can support us with that, you know, to say, look, as I say, you know, that's done, you can certainly move on. And the overburdening definitely as well, to make sure that we are not overburdened and to help our managers, people working for, to recognize that, listen, I'm going to do this piece really super well. Give me something that needs lots of attention that I can really put my heart into rather than giving me loads of things to do. I can do one or two things super, super well. And I know we've talked about this before, but perfectionism in HSPs is often because we don't want to be found out that we are HSP. That's a big part of the reason why we are perfectionists. So when we let go of that and we are able to feel very comfortable and known that we are HSPs, then that perfectionism thing is gonna help with that, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And you know, and to look at it too, as we hear lots of stories of HSP sharing that they had to leave certain work environments that were not healthy for them. They had to change jobs. Maybe they decided to start their own business. I mean, we talk about this a lot, Willow, and just the excitement of the fact that HSPs do really well in their own businesses because they get to, you know, align with their own values, pick their own schedules. And Willow and I are having a masterclass come up actually soon, February 25th, that I hope you guys can join us for anybody that might be interested in actually starting a business and or starting a coaching practice, for example, things like that. I want you to know that there's other options, that we don't have to stay 20 years at a company that is not growth oriented and is not willing to meet our needs.
Yes, absolutely right. Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that, Julie. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, HSPs, we're known as royal advisors. We're well designed to be self-employed, and we make amazing coaches, healers, consultants, you know, because we're so good at reading other people. We're so good at giving advice and helping support people, but our gifts are so aligned to creating transformation and healing in others. So, you know, we have an amazing opportunity to supplement our income. You know, sometimes if it's a bit scary taking that step into becoming a coach, self-employed, you know, we can work part-time as a self-employed coach and keep our work. But I couldn't agree more. It's definitely not for us, especially as HSPs. It's not good for us to be in the wrong line of work, burning ourselves out, you know, day in, day out, thinking that I have to be in this job for the rest of my life. Honestly, you don't. I mean, specialist coaches right now, you know, we are really in demand. The coaching industry is booming. So now is the time, if that is of interest. There's one comment I'd really love to address here. Miriam, you've asked a really amazing question here. Do you have recommendations how to deal with very competitive work environments as an HSP? I work in academia, and often the more output I have, the more threatened people around me feel, which I in turn find very upsetting. That is such a great question, and I've got to be really honest with you. I don't know that I have the answer. Perhaps Julie, you have an answer. But what I will say about that is I can really relate to that. Not because I don't have academia is not my field. But I am very aware of the fact that in some scenarios, I'm able to see and read situations. And when I share that, people do find that quite threatening, because they're like, well, how on earth do you know that? You know, and it's in my experience, it's about helping other people to feel honored and recognized for the value that they bring. So there's a way of sharing things, you know, there's a way of helping people to feel valued and that they have a specific view on things that's very, very valuable. And the fact that I can see something different doesn't mean that I'm undermining them. It doesn't mean that I'm here to put them down because I can see things differently, but I have something very valuable to share. So I think there's some sample sentences almost to, in the way that information that you have is shared, to make sure the people around you feel heard, supported, and valued. I think that's what's threatening, is when there's someone else in the room that seems to know much more about a topic, people feel threatened, especially in the workplace, because they're going to think, well, if I don't know this, am I going to be fired? So I think there's ways of handling this. Perhaps, Judy, you've got some input on this maybe.
Yeah, I always think that, you know, how we present things is incredibly important, and where the intention comes from inside of us, and working on our own empowerment, which we've been doing in the sensitive empowerment community, that, you know, so many of our events are surrounded by that, because when we, and I have this as my own example to share, that I did not used to have this confidence that I have now and the sense of empowerment that I have now. So before, if you were looking at me years ago, before I had it, I would have been uncomfortable to stand up for myself. It would have been hard to advocate for my needs. I would have been worried about what people thought about me. So maybe I didn't say my needs. I mean, these are some of the reasons why we don't. And so, but when we're working on our own confidence and empowerment, and we understand our own internal value, we're not as impacted by the external world. And we, even how we share something, how we educate, how we talk about it shifts, because we're coming from a place of strength and empowerment and confidence and certainty within ourselves. And I think that's incredibly valuable to grow that. And it's possible to grow that.
Right, absolutely. Okay, yes, that's a very good point. So it's feeling comfortable in our own selves and not worrying too much about what other people think, as a kind of almost like a mechanism in order to, you know, to kind of handle this kind of experience. And yeah, I mean, I think that is
I feel like something's wrong with me for having this trait, and I'm trying to talk to a boss about it, it's going to come off that there's something wrong with me. And if I'm talking about it as a gift and a valuable thing, and I believe that within myself, then they're going to believe that. And we even energetically project that, not even only in our words, but even in our energetic, like what we're sharing in the room shifts if we believe in ourselves.
Right. Very, very good. Yes. That's absolutely key. And that's an ownership piece, right? So that's about saying, I have this ability as an HSP to see things in this way, and that's what's giving me that's what's bringing the value to the room right now. That's what I need to share, and it is so important to own that. And ownership is you know, I'm fascinated about the concept of ownership, and I think that is the pathway to empowerment for us. It's like I don't need to make excuses for the fact that I can see things in this way or I know what I'm talking about. It's the fact that I'm owning the fact that I can see this, and therefore I'm bringing a great deal of value.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I have to say something, I've seen people talk, even in the chat, they're talking about it like workplace trauma. And I've seen this a lot with HSPs talking about that and dealing it with it for many, many years. And I just want to say that we don't want to stay in those kinds of conditions. We need to be in safe conditions. And yes, it can be, challenging to create change. But like you were saying, Willow, even if you start something, say you start a side practice of coaching and you're really passionate about helping a particular group of people and you start learning how to do that and you start building up another practice. And then as that one takes off, you can quit your job. I mean, there's a lot of things we can do to start to create change within ourselves. And, you know, that's something that I've done and I know and really supported a lot of people through it, that it's possible. And is it easy all the time? It's not always easy, but staying in a safe, in an environment that doesn't feel safe to you is not going to be okay.
Yes, exactly right. Absolutely. And Miriam, you know, I mean, that's for you, but there could be a really interesting opportunity here, because the fact that you have this level of knowledge that you have, and perhaps, you know, when you're in your environment, there is this constant feedback that you're getting. It's like, well, this just makes a lot of sense to me, and I just know what I'm talking about here. Well, that's exactly what a consultant is. And HSPs make amazing consultants, because we can go into an environment, whether it's coaching, whether it's into an organization or whatever it is, and we can read the environment and we can specialize in a particular area that is aligned with our unique gifts and way we see the world as HSPs. It's an amazing opportunity.
Yes. And if you wonder about it, like, check out all the episodes on the HSP podcast and see all the presenters we've had. They're all HSPs. And, you know, so many of them share their stories of where they started from challenge and how they grew into something that they really loved. I mean, it is definitely possible and doable, whether you start your own business to support your needs, or you find a job position that supports and values you, because there are people out there who are going to value you and your work. And we don't want to stay, just like we wouldn't want to stay in a relationship that's not safe. We also don't want to stay in a company environment that's not safe, you know? So we got to think about, like, what are the things that we have control over? What can we advocate for? Can we try to get some of these needs met? All of these things are worth exploring, because your wellness is worth it.
Yes, absolutely. Our wellness has got to come, you know, self-care is such an important factor for us as HSPs. And again, excuse me, about this ownership piece, you know, if we're kind of day in, day out in a job that doesn't suit us, then we're not really valuing and taking ownership of the gifts that we have. You know, if we feel we're the work that we're doing on a day-to-day basis is not really fulfilling us and it's not really challenging us in the right way, it's just not a healthy place to be. And whilst I know it's very scary to make that kind of shift, as Judy's saying, you can make that a part shift. And as soon as you get experience of yourself in value, in other words, as soon as you get an experience of yourself coaching or consulting in whatever context that may be, once you get that feedback, it's like, oh my gosh, actually I can do that. And then all of those kind of fears just get lessened a bit, and gradually you can make that transition into doing something that's really meaningful.
And that's important for HSPs. This also shows up for us in the research, is that we actually really need to be doing things that feel meaningful and fulfilling to us. That's part of who we are. And if we're not doing that, it can definitely lead to depression, anxiety, all kinds of health issues. So we're talking about something that's important to understand, that, and sometimes it evolves. Like maybe what we wanted to do in our 20s is very different than we want to do in our 40s. And that's okay. Like I've completely evolved along the way. And every time I've sort of sampled something and I'm like, oh, I really love this. How can I do more of this? You know, and really getting clear about that. But it did take a lot of personal internal work too. And, you know, I think that's an important thing to think about too, that we have to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves in the way that allow us to feel healthy and balanced and get confident and take, you know, all of those things are important.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, and that's a really good point you've made there, Julia, as well. It's like, it takes time, even though we may have an, I think, okay, yes, you know, I really want to give this a go. And when we try it, it doesn't mean necessarily that the entire world's going to change and we found our purpose and, you know, it's kind of sunlight and rainbows. It is definitely that kind of feedback and experience, but it's about developing it. It's about trying something new, and it's kind of following the breadcrumbs of what feels right and then learning to develop and evolve with it. So, you know, even if it feels, if you take a little few steps, it's not about trying to expect a huge instant life change. It's just about trying, seeing how it goes, and just following that feedback of a sense of meaning and joy, essentially.
Yeah, and some of the past podcast episodes we've done about protecting your energy would be really great to listen to and explore, because we've given lots of tools in all these episodes too, of ways to really support our needs and to understand this trait. So those are things definitely, if you're looking for more tool building, to check out, I would recommend looking at. And yeah, there's just so much to do. I mean, the fact that you're listening to this is exciting too, because you're part of the change.
Yes, absolutely right. Yeah, yes. And that's how this, you know, this grassroots movement is really gonna take off. And you know, it's about us sharing the fact that we are here as HSPs, and we have these gifts and we have these abilities. And the biggest shift for us is always about feeling valued in ourselves and confident and owning this amazing gift that we bring to the world. And I think the more that we do that on a personal level, the easier it's going to be for us to stand in ownership and stand grounded and empowered in the workplace. And the better that we're going to find the language to be able to create more examples of the example that you gave at the beginning there, Julie, of going to the people at work and saying, listen, you know, I have this ability. It's, you know, I have this personality trait, and it gives me these particular abilities. And I'd love to share with you about how I can help more and share with you the things that I can see. And I think the more that we, you know, that we own it in ourselves, the more we talk about it, the more resources that we get, the more self-care that we get, the better it's going to be for ourselves and also for workplaces on the whole.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And finding that language, you know, I'll give you all a language to use. You might want to, or a couple of them maybe that might be fun. So think about it like this. Maybe you're going to even share this with someone. Sensitive people are like high-performing specialty cars. We might require a specific type of maintenance, but when taken care of properly, we perform exceptionally.
Oh, I love that. Yes. That's such a good analogy. Exactly right. Absolutely right. And some... And some cars, you know, like you shouldn't take a high-performing car off-road down a bumpy track. You know, so it's like we're very good in some for some environments, and some environments we're just not designed for that. And you know, and that needs that's got to be respected.
Yes, or maybe you want to use the orchid analogy that we've been using too. Is that, you know, an orchid needs a specific type of environment to bloom brilliantly. And we are like orchids, that if we get the right types of environment, we will absolutely bloom brilliantly. And we don't blame the flower if the flower's in the wrong environment to thrive. We just create a better environment for them to thrive.
Exactly. Absolutely. And another great analogy. I mean, that is a really good analogy, because it, you know, that's an orchid is only, it needs specific conditions in its environment, and that's exactly the same as us. You know, we've got to have the right environments to really shine. And it's by, as I say again, you know, by creating this awareness in the workplace around us as to why we need these conditions, that's when people are going to really support us. And it's not like, oh my God, you know, that person's really sensitive. You know, that's not helpful for us or for them if we're just sharing our needs and it looks like it's coming from a place of weakness, or you know, or we just want to be treated as a special person. You know, it's a give and take. It's about, yes, I have these needs, but hey, look what I can bring and I can serve and I can support you with as a result. I think that's really important.
Yes, I love it. At least is asking if I can post that quote. I will definitely post that quote. What's kind of fun too about the community is that I actually post all the chat in the text chat that we've been having right now. We post it in the community too, so we can actually read through it if you're listening to the replay. So I will definitely put that. So fun, Willow. There's so many fun things to talk about this subject, right? Anything else you want to share?
Absolutely. There was, I noticed just in the questions there, I can't remember who it was asking, but someone said, can you just explain the correlation between perfectionism and being an HSP? And I can just say, actually, and again, this is really important in the workplace. It's important for us to not get stuck and caught up in perfectionism. But what I have, I know I've mentioned it just before, but what I've really found over the years is that if I get stuck, I've noticed in myself, if I get stuck in a state where I am trying to perfect something, if I check in with myself and ask myself, well, why am I actually doing that? And quite often, if I've gone too far into something, it's usually because the intention is based in fear. And that is because either I don't want someone to know something, or because I feel like I'm not doing someone a service. In other words, I'm going to let someone down if I don't make this as perfect as I possibly can. So if I find myself way off track into perfectionism, I just check in and ask myself, what's actually driving that? And when I'm honest, I can say, okay, it's because I'm frightened of this. Then that really helps me to bring back balance. But there is this important piece around perfectionism, is that many of us as HSPs struggle with perfectionism because we don't want to be found, people to find out that we see the world differently, that we have particular needs. So in other words, if we keep our world around us in perfect order, it's less likely that people are going to come in and question us. So that's another piece to be aware of. And again, it's about us expressing our gifts and abilities and sharing who we are in the world. So it's just about checking and asking ourselves, why am I making this particular thing absolutely perfect right now?
Yes, absolutely. That's a problem in work life and personal life for a lot of HSPs, and something to be aware of. And your body will give you cues. Your body will let you know if you're listening to it. You know, if you're doing your alone time, you're doing your meditation time, your nature time, mindfulness, all that stuff is going to help you listen to those early cues that HSPs have about, does this feel right, or does this feel right, or this doesn't feel right. I mean, that's something we really want to listen to. And they're there. Whether we listen to them or not is up to us. And that is something that really changed my life, was to start listening to those cues, believing in my intuition, believing in my value, getting empowered, doing healing work. Like if you need to do healing work, hopefully you know about the HSP practitioners directory that I have. I mean, it's important to do healing work if that's something that holds us back from having the life that we want. And I really want to invite you guys to, for those of you listening, to join the Sensitive Empowerment Community. We have such a beautiful space here to be together and to talk about ways that support our well-being in general. And it's a beautiful place to be. And I definitely want you guys to check out all the episodes that Willow and I have done on the HSP podcast. And they're all organized together. So if you go to hsppodcast.com, you can actually see all the episodes that Willow and I have done together. And they really are amazing. And I love hearing from you guys about how they're supporting you. And I really appreciate those of you that have been sharing the podcast episodes. And we really appreciate reviews on the episodes too, on the podcast, because it helps people find the podcast. I mean, it's the grassroots movement that we're doing, this paradigm shift of knowing the value of sensitivity is so powerful and so profound. And I 100% know it's what the world needs. And I also know that each one of us have a role in it. Right, Willow?
Oh my gosh. Absolutely right. So much so. Yeah, it's, you know, and if this, if it's from our, from the episode today, if you're really kind of tuning in and thinking, well, perhaps I am in the wrong workplace or I'm not in the right line of work, it would be so good to have you with us on the 25th, which is all going to be about, you know, how we make this transition into becoming a coach as an HSP, because we're so designed for it. And I think the links are in the community in order to register for that. And you can also go to highsensoryintelligence.com and register there. If you'd like to. And stay in community. I mean, you know, this empowerment community is such a magical, special place, and it's so important for us to get the support that we need from each other as HSPs.
Yes, it's so beautiful and profound to be together. It just really is such a beautiful space. And I love the, you know, sharing with HSPs, like there's so many healers out there. You're a yoga teacher, you're a therapist, you're some kind of healer in the world that start these businesses and that really take off. And it's really exciting to see. Maybe they do online classes or they do coaching or they create their own communities and things like that. There's so much potential. And we are really so committed to, I mean, I think that's kind of our calling, isn't it, Willow, to really empower sensitive people to really live their best life, to have what they need and to really value themselves.
Yes, absolutely. I think that is definitely our core message, Julie, is to help people to recognize as HSPs, you're beautiful, amazing people with these incredible gifts, and we are so needed in the world. And we get more and more evidence of that all the time. People constantly giving us feedback. It's like, wow, how do you know that? That's so useful. It's like, we must allow our voices to be heard.
Yes, I love what Becca said too. She says, I love the support here. Together, we'd create a fun and fantastic workplace.
Wow. Oh, I love that.
I love that too. I love you guys so much. Oh my goodness. You're such a you're just such beautiful human beings. I think that's the magic of being together as HSPs. When they come into the community, they're kind of like, right, guys? I mean, maybe you want to say a couple things about it to let people know, but you know, that's kind of the thing, is like, we're not used to being surrounded by sensitive people because we're the, you know, the minority. So being surrounded by sensitive people in this community is like, you start to recognize how kind and supportive and compassionate and just the loving kindness that just flows through a community of sensitive people. And that's the part that I think is kind of magical, because you do start to recognize like your value and how amazing you are in the world. And I cherish you and I value you. And I'm so happy to be together. So thank you everybody for being here. Thank you, Willow, for we always have such fun conversations, and I really look forward in a couple of weeks doing that masterclass together to help empower HSPs to start their own businesses and find out what they'd be good at. It's going to be so much fun. So come join us and take care, everybody. We love you, and we'll see you in the community.
See you soon, everyone. So good to have you all with us. Take lots of care.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
You can take my free sensitivity quiz and find all my HSP tools and resources at sensitiveconnection.com.
To register for the next masterclass on how to make your shift into high sensory intelligence, visit inluminance.com. Please leave us a voice message if you have a question or comment for us to be included in a future episode. Just click the voice message button in the show notes, introduce yourself, tell us where you're from, and record up to 60 seconds. We love hearing from you.
And please share this episode to help others. And take extra good care of yourself out there. Bye-bye, everybody.